When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Everyone, and welcome back to Starfellows, your favorite D&D podcast in a galaxy far, far away. I'm your Dungeon Master, Rob, and with me, as always, are my friends, Hannah.
Hello.
Amelia Somm.
Sup.
And Brennan.
Hey, guys.
Last episode, a few things happened. Akalob was promoted to the rank of Jedi Knight in a midnight ceremony in the Korsanti Mountains outside of the Jedi Order. L survived a council vote to stay his execution for a later meeting. In the meantime, has been ordered to help the Jedi reclaim the Power and Lights District from the Red Maw, who has infected the place with the ominous purple smoke from the Crown of Erebus. And Rama finally got his Razor Crest back from Jackson's Garage, a brand new Tier 2 Razor Crest class medium starship.
Shout out to the Tonys.
Tony. Shout out to Tony.
Tony.
cute.
They are really the boys, and we support them, and they do really good mechanical work. It is the same evening. It's been after dinner, the day of the council vote, and Brahma getting the Razor Crest back. We're going to start this episode in Master Cornelius's private apartments. I think that you guys all kind of gathered there after dinner to discuss the plans about the coming days and the operation to retake the Power and Lights District. You are sitting kind of like an open style, like sunken living room with a fireplace and a television set on. And Master Cornelius is kind of like flipping through channels and pauses on a news broadcast, and you hear like the chiming sounds of like a news alert come across the screen, like do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Good evening, Capital Sector, and welcome to Coruscant Evening Update. I'm Florg Dervison,
and I'm Gilby Waiters, here to give you the unadulterated truth about what's happening in the galaxy.
Gilby, let's lead off the night with today's update on the Power and Light situation, shall we?
Well, Flurg, the PLDL evacuation remains speedy and efficient as the Jedi and Republic police cooperate on relocating hundreds of thousands of people. The mysterious purple smoke still looms over the area, but we were able to send some evening update camera droids into the fog to see what there is to see.
The feed cuts to a standing position camera on the shoulder of a like skinny mechanical droid as they are like walking slowly into dense purple fog. Think like the mist, like Stephen King's The Mist, like where there is lightning flashes through the fog, illuminating strange figures, humanoid figures, animal-like figures, some things that like can't easily be understood through the haze of the fog.
We have activity spotted. As you can see, the visibility is quite low. Turning on thermal sensors. Oh.
The camera feed switches to thermal, And in the smoke, you can see just dozens of shapes, like through this TV feed, shambling human creatures that you recognize as like possessed civilians, some like dogs like running around like they have rabies, and just like some bizarre silhouettes that aren't easily identifiable. The droids that are make up this camera crew look around in the purple smoke, and in a flash, they get jumped by creatures that just blur across the camera feed, and the feed cuts back to the news station.
Well, that was certainly shocking. Many thanks to the dedicated droids who put themselves at risk to bring us that footage. We will miss you, and you will be replaced.
Well, folks, it's clear that no one should be wandering around the Power and Lights District. We're still missing many details about what's causing this mysterious phenomenon, but it's clear that... Oh. Wait. We're getting a breaking news update that a criminal organization calling itself the Red Maw has taken credit for this disaster.
Their leader has leaked a video statement to the press. No one has seen this footage. We are going to share this video unedited right now for the whole Republic to see. Let's watch.
Jesus.
An awful idea. Yeah, is that
good? Why? Are you kidding me? Who are these?
We've got word that there are terrorists. Well, let's see what they're doing. Hopefully there's nothing bad that comes of this.
Some people are killing others by the thousands to get some attention to their message. Let's give it to them, folks.
Pretending like this is not exactly how the real media works.
Oh, no, it is.
It
this
is.
Is.
It's
this
just
is not a fault with you, Rob. This is how the news and testament to your wonderful and vivid world building.
I just figured that, like, after hyperdrive invention, maybe we wouldn't have this problem.
They would have someone screaming. Hyperdrive just means news can travel faster.
Feed cuts to like, clearly home video quality footage. Of a cavernous space that's glowing with a soft violet color. The video begins kind of blurry, and a figure is messing with the camera, and it kind of shakes. And then the figure steps back, and the camera comes more into focus, and it reveals a like line and like group of individuals in apparently like a cave. And in the background of the cave is a massive glowing kyber crystal. And sitting in front of the camera feed in a high-backed chair is... a Cathar that you recognize as Sue.
I do just like want to point out that they have this fucking kyber crystal. They've wreaked havoc, and none of them have like a remote shutter button. I love the commitment here to their aesthetic they're going for.
So the video shows Sue on this high back chair. And the video feeds does zoom into her face. So there is some sort of like behind the scenes camera control that's going on. They're just, you know, whatever. But anyway,
it zooms I'm just being difficult because I'm scared.
No, it's fair. It zooms into to Sue and kind of gives like a three quarters like torso and up view of her, and she very magnanimously like throws her head and like her lion's mane of like hair like whips around and she says,
"Greetings, good people of Coruscant. My name is Surota, the master of the Red Maw. First, I would like to sincerely apologize for the chaos of the past week. I assure you all that if you follow my instructions, no one else may face any danger. Our mission statement is simple. We work for the liberation of Force Sensitives and other groups to be liberated from the monopolistic, authoritarian control of the Jedi Order. Our freedoms will no longer be threatened by Jedi kidnappers and assassins. Every year, hundreds of children and families are taken from their homes. Lives are ruined and families are broken. If anyone refuses to cooperate with the Jedi, they're slaughtered, and the Republic covers it up. We are reminded every day of our lives that the Republic and the Jedi will work tirelessly to enforce the status quo, but they do so at the cost of our lives. We at the Red Maw are people who have hidden from the Jedi and have developed our skills in secret. Our members have all suffered from the oppression of this status quo, and we will stop at nothing to end the tyranny in the galaxy. These are our terms. We have control over the Corpus Coruscanti, and therefore the power supply of the planet. Our first demand is that you allow us to continue the control of this crystal as a natural deterrent against Jedi oppression. In exchange, we will gradually release the veil of smoke over the district. Second, the Red Maw will become the ruling force of the Power and Lights District. We will set up our own laws and enforce our own borders. Third, we request that the Jedi abandon the practice of recruiting children to join the Order, end the cycle of dehumanization and abuse, and if our demands are not met, then we will continue to control the Power and Lights District, and more people will suffer. Do not doubt our power.
The, like, video feed and, like, the ground, like, shudders in the video. And the Corpus Corsanti glows an ominous color in the background, and then the video ends. It goes back to the news feed broadcast, but Master Cornelius, like, turns off the TV and says, "That's enough of that."
Anyone else thinks she has a point? You know what? I'm gonna take that back. I'm gonna grab some coffee.
And Rama, like, gets up and goes to the coffee pot.
Right. Well, that was certainly disturbing, but not out of line from what we already know about the situation. The Red Maw is clearly insane, and an organization of terrorists that is trying to leverage chaos into a power grab, essentially. Tomorrow morning, we're going to have a formal briefing about the mission to retake the Power and Lights District. We've been organizing things behind the scenes to quickly regain ground through the smoke. We're very aware, thanks to the information that you three were able to procure in your investigations of this issue, about how the smoke works, about how the possessions work, the worms. We understand how that can be dealt with. It sounds like us four and any support that we want to bring will be the main force to infiltrate the underground around the Argoplex to find the crystal and to deal with Sue.
Sounds like a plan.
I have a question. So last episode we talked about memories. It's been a while. And I was fighting someone on Rodia, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It was a force user?
Yes.
Do I know anything about them? What did they look like? What was their deal? What species were they?
I said they were a male Cathar.
A male Cathar, okay. Mm-hmm. I remembered Cathar and I was like, Okay.
Roll me a lore check. Just against your own memories.
I'm rolling the dice that we got. And
cute.
That is a 3. 4.
Four. Yeah, you remember that it was a Cathar. You don't remember what they look like.
Damn.
You also are having trouble.
Maybe they were siblings. Okay. Sorry.
Good thing you have someone who was there that you can ask.
He doesn't know shit about Sue. He saw the video, too.
He knew who the Cathar guy was. The male Cathar was. Right?
Yeah, probably. Sorry, Rob. You were saying something.
No, I mean, you can ask Cornelius about it if you want.
Yeah, I'll ask Cornelius. Kind of probably while Rama's getting coffee and stuff, kind of pull him aside. Hey, you said our briefing's tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I was wondering if sometime today, like, we talked a little bit about, you know, what happened, but if, my memory's still really kind of foggy. I was hoping we could, like, maybe debrief about that in depth.
Oh, sure, I mean, yeah, we talked about it a little bit, What are you having trouble remembering?
Well, kind of everything, but right. I was thinking, you know, the person that I fought, do we know anything that happened with them? I know you chased them, but, like, anything about them? Have they been active? What was their whole deal?
the person that we were chasing after when you fell.
Yeah.
He makes an expression, like an expression crosses his face for just a moment. That is not the like neutral, placid expression that he's able to wear and most times to mask his emotions. And I want you to make an insight check.
14. Love that I can make insight with charisma now. It's a game changer.
A 14. You think his expression was like, it was just there for a moment, but the like look in his eyes seemed like worried and... Yeah, just really like worried for a second. Like a flash in his eyes just gave you that impression. And he says, yes. So to catch you, I'll just give you the intel that we knew going into the mission, and then I'll tell you basically what we found out through investigating him. So when we arrived on Rhodia to respond to the reports that there had been rogue force users running around causing trouble, and we were trying to find the Order of the Bendu to talk to them about if they had seen anything, because they were essentially a neutral force aligned group in the region. And we had hopped from town to town, and I had heard stories about essentially a red lion that had been wandering around Rhodian villages and causing trouble, killing people, kidnapping people from their parents, destroying property, setting fires, and we were able to track a lot of these statements to a rough area of operation. And so we set up some traps, some intel traps, and eventually got positive ID on this person, this Red Cathar. And so we started following him through the jungle, and once he realized we were on his trail, he started moving considerably faster. And one day when we were following him, you caught sight of him. You were taking the lead on the trail, so you were, a considerable distance in front of me. And you start taking off under the impression that you could chase him down and fight him. So you rush off, and I'm left alone. And from what I pieced together, you confronted him. I don't know the specifics of that fight, but when I came into the clearing, what I saw was him grabbing you by the lapel with your lightsaber on the ground and him shoving you and throwing you off and then kicking your lightsaber after you. And then I did battle with him, except, well... It didn't go the way I expected. Is this related? Is this like, we need to talk about this right now, or?
I think it might be with the magic atoms and the Bendu and stuff. Is what happened?
He like pulls you aside to like his bedroom, so like, you guys are like a few doors removed from everyone else, and says, Okay. Before he threw you off, there was a moment when he was talking to you, the Cathar. But it wasn't really the Cathar. There was like a spirit that came out of his back. Like, it looked like a ghost. Not a ghost. I mean, ghosts aren't real, but, like, an entity above him hovering. Like, almost puppeteering him, in a way. And it was the spirit that was actually talking. The Cathar's mouth wasn't moving, but I could hear the voice out loud. And when it was holding on to you, it was looking at you and leaned over and said, shit. It said, this vessel is still too weak. let's bury it and wait for it to grow. And then it tossed you off the cliff. And then when I started fighting it, I mean, it was like, it really was like fighting something supernatural. It could, the spirit, I mean, kind of left the Cathar, and the Cathar was dead. And then it was mostly the spirit chasing around me and wandering through the jungle, but it, freakiest shit I've ever seen. It really was something like out of a horror story. And so I couldn't really kill a ghost, and didn't have any idea how to talk to anybody about it. So the Cathar was just dead on the ground, and yeah, and then I started looking for you.
What the fuck?
Yeah, right? Like some spooky shit. I mean, and then like you see why I was so fixated on it, because it clearly, that spirit was like looking for something in you. And then, you know, like the Order of the Bendu probably know the most about that sort of thing. The Jedi seriously don't study that level of like spirit manipulation. I know some masters have been able to preserve their spirit in the Force by a process that they call Force ghosting when they die, but that's more of I've never heard of anybody doing that to interact with and possess other bodies, which is what looked like it was happening there. So
right, did you, like, do the Jedi know about this, or is, like, who knows?
Just us two right now. I didn't want to talk to anybody about this because, well, it was already I was already being reprimanded for, you know, for you dying, and going missing and searching for you. And then also if I was talking as if some mysterious puppet ghost was actually the cause of your death, I think that I would have got psych-evaled out of commission.
Right. Oh. Huh. Okay, well, that raises so many questions. Did you like, do any research? Like, did it... I mean, I assume you did, but, like... Oh. Oh, I don't like that at all.
I mean, I'll say this. The Jedi are much more closed-minded about how the Force works than I think is, in practice, very helpful. We're taught a very spirit-centric, body-focused idea of how the Force works. That's very central to, you know, our understandings of physicality and consciousness. There are hundreds of thousands of Force-sensitive species in a galaxy. We hardly understand how the Force can be manipulated in ways that we're not attuned to. And there's just certain dogmatic principles that the Jedi don't like acknowledging are true because they're associated with dark forces. And I think in this case, that's reasonable. We don't study Force possession because we have no purpose for that. But somebody else might.
Yeah. Do you think any of this is, like, related to the Bendu stuff, or, like...
The Bendu and the Order of the Bendu are a complicated organization. They're very secretive, and the Bendu is a figure that is... He's more of, like, a folk hero for the ancient Jedi Order. He was kind of this figure that would show up in times of, like, need or great turmoil, for when the Jedi were still planted on Typhon as, like, the main headquarters of that, like, early, you know, like, tens of thousands of years ago when the Jedi Order was kind of in its infancy. But is mostly thought of to be a myth now. The Order of Bendu claims that it is the mortal, material you know, manifestation of the Bendu's will, kind of a force of neutrality that seeks to preserve balance. They're known to sometimes, like, travel the universe searching for artifacts to essentially secure, contain, and protect. But they don't do much else, and they're not a very vocal part of the galactic, like, order.
Right. Well, I guess I got a lot to think about now.
It's a big galaxy. There's a lot out there. And he kind of, like, looks, like, to the side, like, out, you know, like, a window, like, overlooking, like, the city plan of Coruscant, and it's just, like, he looks like his worldview gets changed, like, every few minutes around here. And, yeah, he just has kind of that, like, old wisdom of, like, nothing is constant, everything is change, expecting anything is, like, foolishness. Everybody, Hannah, so Rama, Akala, and Elle, you all get a text at the same time from Cecil. It says, co-worker in the Jedi Investigations Department has a secret bar in the bottom floor of an apartment building name. Bunch of cuties here, come down for a drink, -CA with a heart. A social invite to go drinking with her and some Jedi friends that she's made in the past 24 hours.
I love her.
Our social butterfly.
Is there anything else that you wanted to ask while you're here?
I don't think so. Anything you wanted to talk about?
Yeah. Well, I want to let you know that I do respect you not wanting to come back to the Jedi Order after what you've been through. You've made that choice, and it's fair that you see that through. I don't think the Jedi Order was ever seriously going to execute you, but I do think that it is unlikely that you're allowed to stay on this planet going forward. Especially since you were very vocal about not wanting to be a Jedi. And as you know, that's something that the Order takes very seriously. So, what I can do, though, if the Council orders you to leave, is send you to a destination that you may want to go to already. As in, if you have a planet in mind that you'd want to go to maybe continue working on some stuff that you're already engaged with, we could make that happen.
Yeah, I think you probably know.
I'll find a way to book some tickets to Rodia. Yeah.
I'm gonna give him a hug.
Oh, yeah, he gives you a big hug too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should get some rest because tomorrow it sounds like we're going into that mist. And he just kind of like starts shooing you guys all out of his place and setting up for the night. So you guys are now free to go wherever you would want to end the night.
I think we're going to the party, right?
You tell me.
Yeah, I could use a drink. Or 12.
Brennan, is Rama gonna accompany his friends to the Jedi powwow?
I say so. Also, El, gotta say, that old master of yours, top notch, big fan.
Yeah, he's really the best.
We need more like him around here. I can really vibe with that kind of guy. Anyway, I see where you get it from, is all I'm saying.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Excellent. Well, you guys start making your way down Kobe Cornelius's apartment tower, and you guys make your way over to the building that Cecil's at, and you find She like comes out and greets you and says, "Hi, like there's a secret bar that's in the basement of this apartment building that the Jedi run exclusively. Super sweet. Found out about it in the first like 10 minutes of working here. And just come with me." And she like takes you to an apartment building and like goes like to like a janitorial room and like flips a switch somewhere. Cool. And like a hidden staircase opens down into like a nice little like loungy bar, like kind of like a cigar lounge style bar. And you guys recognize like some familiar Jedi faces just like hanging out. Like Bronze Beckham is there like smoking a cigar and talking to like a droid about like weapons parts. You see like Maxie just like with a tie off, like at the bar with like a glass of whiskey, like like looking like a tired cop.
Okay, Maxie.
And you just see some like other like folks around there. No like Jedi Padawans though, is like the idea. Is like the everyone here is Jedi Knight. No real Jedi Masters are around because they're kind of older folks anyway. But yeah, this is like, yeah, like the college kids of the Order plus like some like mid-20s Jedi Knights. Yeah,
and plus the grad kids.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, grad students that are done with their like their work for the day. They're just like trying to get drunk. They're not even trying to talk to people.
Hey, Cecil, pretty cool place. Can I ask a brief question?
Yeah, sure.
They told you a Jedi secret within 10 minutes of you meeting them?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, well, I'm just good with people. I don't know. I just find where the spots are.
I mean, there's good with people, and then there's Jedi secrets within 10 minutes.
Well, it's not like Jedi secrets. They didn't give me the keys to the Order, babe. They just, like, told me where they like to get drunk. It's not like that doesn't happen every day.
All right.
L's walk into the... As soon as L walks, it gets in, and just straight to beeline to the bar.
Anyway, all the same. Just want to say that was impressive. And if, you know, you have a way of lubricating up the Jedi to see if they can spill some of their shit, just HMU.
Well, you know, I do work for the Order now. It's not so easy as HMU, boo-boo. You know, I've got professional responsibilities now. Come on. Let's grab a drink, though. We can talk about it.
Fucking hate rules.
At the bar is, like, a server droid, just, like, a... Basically, like, a floating mechanical, like, square body... That has like appendages that are just like drink hoses that they make. That is just like connected to like a wall behind the bar, and it has a little name tag that says Lloyd. And you guys walk up to it, and Lloyd goes and kind of salutes at you with one of the drink hoses.
Yeah, I just want a triple of something.
He just hands you like what looks like a glass of liquor.
Is it just straight liquor? There's nothing else.
You just said I wanted a triple of something.
Yeah, I'll take it. I just drink three straight shots. No chaser. I don't need them.
And then like as like when you put your drink glass down, like next to where you put it, like a little flap opens up that says like tips. And there's a little coin slot in front of it.
Yeah, I tip. First drink. I tip 50%.
Nice. Lloyd salutes you again and goes, looks appreciative and starts taking drink orders for everyone else.
Could I have something sweet and not too strong?
This is me and Han at a bar, just IRL.
Us at the bar!
You see, like, Lloyd, like, shift over to you, like, pretty fast, like 2 feet to the left. Pours a drink of some liquor and then something red and then puts a little cabana umbrella in it as well with a little straw and a cherry and hands it to you.
Thank you. And I tip as well.
Excuse me. Can you give me some real strong like whiskey type? Yeah, red eye. I mean, if it could melt through the hull of a ship, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, like, you see the droid, like, lean one, like, mechanical, like, elbow and straw and, like, look at you and salute, and then pulls out, like, an actual, like, bottle of, like, Outer Rim Cowboy Deluxe Whiskey. And like he plays like a faint like little like da-down from like a little speaker on his chest and like pours you a drink of whiskey. But just hams it up just because you seem like a cowboy.
Alright, I'm gonna take out my Mandalorian straw and be like,
bottoms up, gentlemen.
Straw.
You're sipping the Outer Rim whiskey through a crazy straw. I know it's not a crazy straw, but it is in my head for now.
It's a crazy straw. It's going this way.
Gotta ask, what percent alcohol content is this, sir?
He turns the bottle over, and you see a tag that says, like, 44% alcohol.
Oh!
It's not even half.
That's how I like it. Yep, that's,
It's like normal whiskey.
Yep, nice and normal.
It's all in the branding.
Mandalorians, cough when they drink. It's a sign of, drink.
Cecil just kind of, like, laughs at you a little bit, and just gets a beer, for the boy.
What kind of beer does Cecil drink? Like, type. It doesn't, you don't have to, I mean, you can't make up Star Wars brand, but I'm just curious. Is she a sour girly?
She gets a white beer, actually. It's, like, a fruity, like, wheat-based beer, I'm not gonna make up a brand right now, but no, fuck it, I am.
I'm just wondering. There was no wrong answer except for IPA.
Yeah, she got it.
Cecil's not a 40-year-old white dad. Thank God.
She got like a Hoth Snow Ale or something like that.
That's cute.
Nice. And just starts chatting with other people at the bar. What would you guys like to do while you're here?
I'm gonna get drunk.
All right. How drunk are you trying to get?
I'm going to keep putting liquor in my body until I'll drink like a glass of water in between every so often, but like I've had a shitty day and there's a ghost who wants my bones. There's too much news today.
Okay, what I'm gonna need is okay, so roll me a d4 first.
Two,
okay. I am going to need two constitution saving throws. Each one's gonna have a pretty high DC. This is to determine how fucking drunk you get.
Okay, so the first one's a natural 20 for a total of 25.
Okay.
And then the second one's a natural 15 for a total of 20.
Okay, so you pass both constitution saving throws with some very high rolls. So you're not going to pass out, from binge drinking. Are there rules for drunkenness? There's gotta be rules for drunkenness in terms of like stat debuffs and stuff. One sec.
I could just go do a shot or two right now if you want.
I think it's mostly for combat, isn't it? I don't think it's for anything.
Yeah.
Like, normal.
There are some... There's some status effects in I found based off of which alcoholic beverage you drink, and also different spices if you want to take some drugs.
Oh, I didn't do drugs. My body's a temple. I don't do drugs. I just put copious amounts of alcohol.
I just kill all the brain cells in it. Yeah.
I'm not going to...
I don't need them. I got a 20 charisma. I'm fine.
I'm,
I feel like something that's like...
That.
What is it? Something like disadvantage on deception checks and things like that seems like it could be cute and fun.
Yeah. I'll just kind of play it by ear. It's not super relevant right now. The most important thing is you pass your constitution saving throw so you didn't just like fucking black out. But if you keep drinking more, you're gonna have to keep dealing with them. It's gonna get harder to maintain.
How many throws did this cover? How long until I have to make a throw again? Or how many drinks did these con saves cover?
Two strong drinks basically, because you're just saying like I'm gonna keep putting liquor in my body, and you ordered triples. So
what is it? Beer before liquor. Okay, so I can drink beer now. I'll probably at some point just go to just downing beers.
Cool.
Beer before liquor.
Yeah.
Never been sicker.
Yeah. Yeah.
I start out with a hard liquor, and now I'm instead of drinking water, I'm just drinking beer. It's basically water.
Exactly, you're hydrating.
I'm great at parties.
Well, what are you trying to do while you're getting drunk, then? What's next?
I don't know. I'm not really the sort to go and talk to people. I probably want to talk to Cecil a bit. Like, I'm not gonna interrupt her, but I'm just sitting somewhere at the bar or in a booth. I'm sitting in a corner booth somewhere, just down in these.
I'm gonna sidle up to Elle the first chance I get.
Just okay, you do so.
Is there a reason you're drinking like there's no tomorrow?
Yeah, because tomorrow's really shitty.
You're just gonna make it worse.
Oh, it'll be fine. I can hold my liquor very well. We're good.
Right. I'm gonna go grab Elle another glass of water.
Yeah, Lloyd hooks you up with some water.
Why are you being weird?
You know, I wanted to talk to you, but I don't think this is the right state for you to be in to have this conversation.
All right.
And I just kind of push the water to him.
And just kind of glare at you, and I drink the water. What have you been up to?
I mean, you know what I've been up to. I have been here. You mean like in the past few days or in...
No, I know what you've been up to the past few days. We went, you know... killed the vampire man. Then you've been kind of weird since then, but you know, you kind of been weird because we've been kind of weird, and then you got promoted, Jedi Knight. Congratulations, by the way. Your next drink's on me. But no, I mean, what have you been up to in the past, like, we haven't caught up on things.
No, we haven't. You know, I've just been training a lot of time, trying to build soul, seeing what the best design would be for me, and I think I figured it out. You know, I've just been trying to live life normally.
All right. Okay. I'm gonna cast 5 points of lay on hands on myself to sober up.
Okay, sure.
Since being drunk is the poison, and lay on hands gets rid of poison or disease.
Oh my god,
that's hilarious.
Roll me, roll me just a force casting check. With disadvantage because you're using a spell in a way it's not really supposed to be used.
I would like to say the amount of times Lay on Hands has been used to undrunken people is a very large constant.
Oh, really?
Okay. No, yeah, I'm fine with rolling disadvantage. Okay, cool. I just want to be annoying. Oh, wait, is it called Lay on Hands here? It's called Lend Aid. My bad. I am lending aid to myself. A force casting check, so that's just with my attack modifier, essentially.
Yeah, it's your force casting modifier.
A disadvantage. Oh, that's only a 22.
Okay, yeah, you're able to sober yourself up by half of your drunken state.
If I use more force points, can I sober myself up all the way? Or most all the way? I want to be a little buzzed. This seems like a pretty downer conversation.
If you're just trying to sober yourself up all the way, I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, you can do that if you want to expend your force points that.
Well, it's not my force points. It's like a pool. It's a channel of the force usage.
I mean, sure. I guess. Yeah, we've started this precedent.
Yeah. So Akla's been all oh, you know, fine. Oh, shit. Yeah, I sober myself up. I do order another beer to get it on the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You want to talk?
I was hoping to.
So talk.
Well, I didn't really imagine this was going to be the place to do it, but...
You want to get out of here?
Yeah, I think I would prefer that.
Let's go for a walk.
Okay.
I take Akala on a little walkala.
All right, yeah, you guys take a walkala around 500 Republica. On like, I imagine that you guys are actually like walking on like sky bridges in between like high skyscrapers, so you're kind of like out in the night air, you know, like 30, 40 stories up in the sky, like kind of like looking down on the city, as you kind of cross these like bridges across different apartment complex buildings and like entertainment spots and all that.
Great. So what I wanted to say, you know, we've had a little bit of time to, you know, rest finally after however many days it's been, and I've had some time to sort of process things a little more. Because it's kind of been nonstop since we met at the bar. I wanted to say that I'm sorry for the way I treated you before you left. For the way I reacted and the way that I treated you, and it, and I'm not just saying this because
I'm gonna give her a hug.
She hugs you back.
You don't have to apologize for anything.
No, I do, because it was the worst mistake of my life what I did to you. I've replayed that moment thousands of times in my head, wishing that I had done anything differently. And I ruined everything. You kissed me and I panicked. And I ruined everything. And I should have said this as soon as I saw you at that bar, but I didn't know. I was scared. I didn't know if it was even really you. I shut you out, and that was horrible. And I've regretted it every single day of my life since you've been gone. You asked me how I was back there, and I haven't been okay.
I'm sorry. You didn't ruin anything. I put you in a situation where you were uncomfortable, and it wasn't fair of me. And I don't think there's anything you really could have said that would have really changed how things turned out. And I think how you reacted was probably a better indication of me fucking up than you panicking or anything, because I probably should have maybe eased into that one. Because it wasn't rad of me to push you to a place where you were uncomfortable, but what do you want now? Because I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not gonna be around here for long, one way or another. And I'm not gonna ask you a question that would put you in a position
where you'd have to compromise everything you've worked your life toward. Because you've done some amazing things. I mean, Soul, that's unprecedented. And I don't want to be the reason that's holding you back.
I don't know what I want. I'm confused about everything. But what I do know is that I've had to learn how to live my life without you. And I don't want to do that again. I just don't.
As you guys are sharing this like moment on these sky bridges connecting these buildings high in 500 Republica, and there's this moment of silence and pause, but like lightning strikes off in the distance towards the Power and Lights District, and you see like purple smoke being illuminated ominously on the skyline.
I don't know what to do here. Go out. Regardless of what happens tomorrow, best case scenario, I'm expelled from the Order.
I know that. I suppose I wanted to say all of this just to make sure it didn't get lost.
Mills, what are you thinking? You're making a face.
I don't like that face.
Yeah, he's gonna kiss her again.
That's what I was hoping for.
Alright, you guys share a passionate kiss on these sky bridges with the rolling, ominous thunder of the Power and Lights District in the background on this otherwise warm, breezy summer evening.
Unlike the last time this happened, she does not pull away. She lets it go on for the natural duration of the kiss. And when they separate, I think you see probably just Akala's face kind of like in a state of not really knowing how to feel, but like switching between these looks of like her eyes are probably closed. She's switching between these two feelings of like absolute just joy and absolute like pain because of just remembering how much pain this brought her last time. But she says, "You have no idea how much I wanted to do that."
Yeah, I've been thinking about it too. I'm sorry, by the way.
It's okay.
I'm not gonna make any decisions for you, Akala. But part of the reason why I left the Order, why I didn't come back, was because I wanted to live what I thought, what I think is just a full life the best way I know how. And that's still my plan. So, I'll support any decision you make. I'll run into any burning building you point me toward. But either this happens, or it doesn't.
I understand.
Hello,
everyone. I hope you're having a good Wednesday. We have just released season 4, episode 33. And I wanted to say thank you for waiting so very patiently for this episode. And I wanted to come on here to say that we have officially wrapped season 4. Kind of crazy. And what that means is the very next episode is going to be the last episode of Guildfellows ever. Kind of crazy, insane. It'll be the last, like, regular, like, story episode. We're going to have a season 4 wrap episode, as we always do. And then we're going to have a podcast, postmortem, wrap up, whatever. So, as you're hearing this, if you're in our Discord channel, our question channel will be open for both season 4 questions and podcast overall questions. I think we're probably going to, like, go season by season and just kind of reflect and see how far we've come and all this stuff. But take this as the opportunity to kind of, you know, talk to all of us as a unit for the last time, possibly. So, yeah, that's what we're going to do. Which also means this is going to be my last announcement, update, whatever thing ever, probably. So, yeah. I don't know. That's really all I kind of have to say. I'm a little behind on our social media pages, so I apologize for that. But we'll get there. We'll catch up. And yeah, next week's going to be the very last story episode, season 4 finale. And then I'm not 100% sure when the wrap-up episodes are going to happen. They may not happen for a while, simply because a lot of us are busy and we're just kind of working around our schedule. So they might not happen for a few weeks. We're going to try to squeeze them in eventually. We're going to try to squeeze them in quick. But if they don't happen for a minute, then they won't happen for a minute. But they'll definitely at least come out this summer. I will make sure that happens. They'll come out as soon as I can wrangle everyone together. So yeah. That's it, I think. That's all I really want to say. I don't really need to go into the regular spiel that I do because, I don't know, it's almost over. Yeah, thank you to Arcane Anthems for the theme song, as always. And thank you to everyone who has listened thus far. And we'll get into it more once those wrap-ups come out. But... yeah, that's what I've got. Thank you for listening. That's all I've got for you guys today. We love you all so much. Keep your heads up. Stay safe. We love you. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, well, as you guys continue your walk around the upper skyline of Republica 500, 500 Republica, we're going to cut back to the Jedi Speakeasy Lounge and join Rama and Maxie at the bar. Rama, you sidle up to Maxie, who is kind of leaning over his glass of whiskey. His, like, white collared shirt is kind of undone, and his tie is, like, untied loosely around his neck. And he just seems, like, tired and, like, worn out. Cecil, like, joins you and sits next to you on the other side of you, Rama. And M-Zero sits on the other side of Maxie. And he also kind of, like, leans against the bar. You all get served drinks. And Maxie says, "Oh, it's the Mandalorian. Hello."
"Maxie, I'm drinking straight up Mordor oil at the moment, so socially lubricated here. Gotta ask, I am a lonely, nihilistic, out-of-work Mandalorian bounty hunter who strayed out of the Wild West with a gun too big, he can't even use it, and I gotta tell ya, I am less sad, tired, and beaten up by life than you are right now. Why the fuck do you do this?
Well, that's certainly a way to start a conversation. Good evening to you as well.
What was your question? You don't look like a man that enjoys his job.
Oh.
You know.
Well, so what's funny about that, as you say that, but you don't seem like a man who likes his job either.
Yeah, well...
Because you're really grumpy. You're even grumpier than I am.
Yeah,
so
well,
you're very sad. So why... what about that? Why are you sad? If you tell me why you're sad, I'll tell you why I'm sad.
You're bitchier than I am.
How... He slaps you. Like, across the face.
I have a helmet.
Okay. Fucking fine, then. Yeah, you have a helmet. I don't care. He doesn't care either. You take 4.5 to 2 damage.
Oh, my God.
How dare you, sir?
Look. You want to know why I'm sad?
Yes.
Okay. Well... When I was 4 years old, it was the end of the Jedi Wars. It lasted 4,000 years. Do you know about the Jedi Wars?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Yes. So it all happened about 1,020-some years ago.
And cut to me explaining the Jedi... until Maxie interrupts. Anyway.
Anyway, so it's towards the end of it. I'm a Claudite, as you know. Okay. And, which means my people are good smugglers, and,
it's a generalization, but okay. You said it, not me.
We can change our faces and our voices.
Right.
We're good at lying.
Some good God-given skills there.
Yeah, God's real. Anyway, so... We're doing a deal with, it wasn't a stash job. We normally do a drop-off, and the client picks it up, and all sorts of barriers, but this guy wanted to do it in person.
Okay.
Saw a red lightsaber.
Oh.
Then one of you lot jumped out. Little some kid. And a knight. A little older than you.
Okay.
Brawl ensued. My parents shot a few times. I shot a few times. I'm kidding. I was 4. But the point I'm trying to make...
4-year-olds can shoot. I've seen it. They can shoot.
At the end of the day, my mother killed the Jedi Knight. And, well... The Padawan, you can probably fill in the rest.
Killed your parents.
I've got a foot-long scar in my face from where the lightsaber ran to my father through when he was cutting me through his chest. Mm. Right through his chest. Into my face.
That's awful. Oh my God, I'm so... Rama, I just didn't know that. I'm so sorry.
Cecil, also beside you, is like, that's awful. I
swear to God, Cecil, where did you come from?
I've been sitting next to you the whole time. We've literally been drinking together for the past, like, 30, 40 minutes.
I knew that.
She looks a little offended.
Sorry,
she definitely looks like, what the fuck?
The helmet harms the peripheral vision, I think. Anyway, so, then what? What do? You join the military, see the world, hunt down the Jedi that killed your parents.
All right, okay.
Joined the Mandalorian clan. That didn't work out. I'm not sharing that part of the story.
Okay.
Long story short, I live so one day, I don't gotta shoot a bunch of people.
Mm.
I don't love bounty hunting, but I do love being a bounty hunter. It's good to have purpose.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, you know, you could always just be choosy about who you lend your services to, because not all bounties are created equal. And
choosy. Well, choice. Just somebody like, grew up rich.
You could only take bounties for people you're not supposed to kill, right? And you don't have to like shoot people, but you can still put them in carbonite or whatever it is you do. That's, I'm sorry, Rama. That seems like a hard childhood.
It wasn't that bad. I got over it. What I'm here to know is, why are you so sad? Oh. I shared mine. Now you show me yours.
Oh, well, I'm mostly sad because the planet is currently a shit show. And I've been working to investigate the lightning strike from the Pan Lights District for the past few weeks. And it's gotten really out of hand. And you three have certainly been stirring things up, but like in a good way. Like, you found a lot of good information. But now the whole Pan Lights District is taken over by smoke, and we're gonna have to go in tomorrow and like clear it out, and there's gonna be a big battle, and people are probably gonna die, and then there's probably gonna be a space altercation with the Hive, and so it's just like,
I know what's going on, I'm not like, fucking blind, but like, why is this your problem? Well, why do you have to sell this? Why does Maxi fucking Mule have to go into work and fix a problem he didn't start?
Well, it's because it's what I love to do. I love fixing problems. I love helping people on Coruscant who are the victims of ne'er-do-wells with a lot of power using it irresponsibly. So I like dealing with gangs and organized crime, and I like trying to make places safer, but like, look at this huge, like the whole part of the city is just completely fucked, and we've got so many refugees. And before that, I was working with the fucking mayor of the Pan Lights District, and that man is the worst. I hate him. I hate that man. I don't hate him. I can't hate people as a Jedi. It's not right. But it's not. It's just.
I mean, you can. I hear you go to the dim side or whatever.
Forget I said that. I didn't. I don't hate him. He is really irritating. And he just wanted results, results, results. But he didn't want to do anything to help us, give more information. He hid the plans, the blueprints and the tunnel guides for the maintenance hatches underneath the Palace District, so it was really difficult to find the Corpus Corsanti. It's a maze down there, and there's cave-ins, and we had to like find ways and like bring breaching charges, but it's all unstable because it's really old. What were we talking about?
We're talking about two things. One, you were about to tell me how you found the blueprints for that kind of stuff and where I can access those.
Well,
and two, I was going to tell you it's okay to have emotions. I mean, no, I don't, it's that's
a,
my choice.
It's not okay, but it's okay. But we're never able to get them from the mayor, but the mayor definitely has them. It's going to be somewhere on his computer.
Awesome.
But that's in the Argoplex, and we'd have to get to the Argoplex and clear a path through the smoke, which we're going to do anyway, but we just have to take time. If we have it, when we set up a perimeter around the Argoplex, before we go into the maintenance tunnels, to find the tunnel guard, we could do it. I don't know. We'd have to go look. We'd have to look in the mayor's office.
Okay, I'll file it away. Hey, Monkey, scale of 1 to 20. How good's your hacking skill? Excellent.
Yeah, he just kind of, like, makes some noises at you.
You heard that, didn't you? I was talking to Maxie.
Monkey also looks sad.
Monkey. Well, I... Hey. I miss her too, man. I'm gonna pour
some of the cowboy whiskey into her shot glass and slide it over, like...
You know, honestly, this is more motor oil than alcohol, so you probably would enjoy this.
Yeah, he's not really able to take the shot. He just kind
just,
of
like, runs down.
Yeah, he just kind of like takes it, like raises it in the sky, and then just like throws it on the ground, smashes it.
I guess in that case, we have the same problem, Maxie.
What's the same problem?
Loving what we do, but hating to do it.
Yeah, it's just, well, you got, it's, life's all about making sacrifices, and, you know, we always have to choose what we sacrifice, and the way to deal with the negative parts about what you have to do is by becoming comfortable and accepting, you know, sacrificing things that you might want or care about in order to achieve something that is greater than yourself, because it's not always about you, is it?
And what exactly do you want to achieve?
I want to help people and get them back to their homes in the Power and Lights District. I want to kill that Red Maw twat, the Cathar, and I want to rescue Oko, or help you guys rescue Oko. And then I want to train young people to be smart, because I feel like I'm dumb and we need more smart people.
Are you sure about that? Because if there's only one thing I know, it's that you always act smarter than me. First off, fair. But why do you think you're dumb? You're a detective.
It's just because I'm drunk. I'm drunk. I shouldn't even be here. I should go home. I should get some sleep. And he kind of
Hey, hold up. I gotta ask.
Okay.
Before you go.
Sure.
What's Maxi short for? I don't know. Maxim, Maximal, Maximize, Maxillary, Maxpeds, Maxiofacial.
No, it's not short for anything. My birth name's Maxi Mule.
Maxi it is. Look, you ain't good to drive. Can I call you a cab?
Don't live too far away. I can just walk.
Well, I'll walk with you then.
Are you sure? I don't need protection. I got my lightsaber. I'm fine to walk.
Well, sometimes you gotta do things that you don't need to do.
Are you trying to, like, go home with Maxi?
I'm trying to take him home, yeah. I mean, I don't want him to.
Yeah?
What? Oh, is that like, no, it's not like a romantic thing. I'm just trying to walk him home. Okay, he's like a drunk ass.
Then just roll me a persuasion.
Fellas, I say he's just going to give him a sweet little kiss goodnight. Like, you know, he kissed the homies and the homies goodnight.
Kiss your bros goodnight. You know, tuck him in.
I'm a big fan of that. Oh, that's not great. That is an 8.
He's being pretty insistent when he's like, I don't really need to be walked home. I'm fine. And he just like starts stumbling out.
Well, how about this? You walk me home to your place, and then I go someplace else.
Brennan, you gotta stop making this sound like flirting if you're not trying to flirt.
I'm not trying to flirt. I'm just trying to
tell
him.
How about this? You walk me home to your place.
No, that's... He's a dad of mine for the plot. I'm just trying to get some info.
Oh, getting some intel. Is that what the kids are calling it these days?
You guys are like inserting so much
into
that.
Certainly, mine his plot.
I'm not trying to mine anybody. I'm just, or I am, just not his data. I mean, his data, but the data he has to offer. I want to mine his data.
You want to mine his data?
See, data mining didn't sound sexual the first time you said it, but when you repeated it a bunch, it started sounding.
Yeah, it starts sounding a little... A little fucking gay.
I want to extract information from him.
You want to extract some information?
Yes, I want to extract his information. I want to learn.
I can think of a couple ways you can extract some information. Yeah. I want to extract his information all night long.
Trying to steal his thumb drive?
Yeah.
To USB-C compatible?
Okay.
He's going to politely refuse and start walking his way home, unless you want to try to make like a more persuasive attempt to accompany him. Meanwhile, Cecil, who has been pretty much ignored throughout this entire evening, her other two friends left, and you immediately start talking to the sad drunk man, is just kind of like gone and off and done her own thing. At this point, like, are you guys trying to end the night so we can get to tomorrow, or what, is there anything else you want to do while it's still night hours?
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably go back to the place if Cecil's there and, like, say goodbye to Cecil.
Yeah, you find her chatting with just like some of her like non-Jedi like temple co-workers over like on a few couches. It seems like she's like gotten kind of comfortable with just normal human guy that is buying people drinks and just hanging out. Oh, are you taking off? You dipped for a little while there. I didn't see where you went.
Yeah, no, me and Akla had a conversation, so.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that, or?
I don't know. I don't know right now. I just wanted to stop by. Oh, yeah, I'm also probably, like, best case scenario, getting expelled from the Order, so.
Yeah. Kind of heard that through the grapevine.
Yeah, I kind of figured.
Do you know where you're gonna go?
I got a few ideas.
Okay. Well, we can still stay, like, in touch, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's, like, a problem with that.
Like, we could, like, vacation somewhere, you know, like, regularly. Well, yeah.
Right, like, but, yeah, as long as we meet, I think I'm gonna be banned from the planet, is, assuming they don't kill me, probably won't kill me. But yeah, so we can find a place to hang.
Yeah. Wow. That's really sad. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's my fault, so make decisions, deal with consequences.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring down your whole vibe, but I just wanted to let
you know. Are you sure you're trying to go? I mean, we can like hang out tonight and like we can like have a drink, or like we like it's still like not that late. We could, or if you got, yeah, I mean, I know that you're gonna do a lot of work tomorrow, so maybe
I'll be fine. I'm good right. Holding my liquor, yeah. But yeah, no, let's just drink, catch up, kind of like old times.
Cool.
Who's this guy? I say, pointing to the guy.
You know, nothing. Nobody really important. Yeah, just like yeah. So you guys like start chatting and socializing. And you have a lovely evening with Cecil drinking and such. Like, just for mechanical purposes, like, how late are you trying to stay out drinking and, like, getting fucked up with Cecil?
Probably, like, not, like, too late. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, 1 a.m. isn't bad.
Okay, so 1 a.m. So we'll say that's, like, three more hours of drinking.
And I'm gonna crash on Cecil's couch just like old times.
Amazing. Yeah, she has.
Because I've actually never been, I haven't been formally given any quarters because I was just crashing on Maxie's couch, and now I'm just gonna crash on Cecil's couch.
Yeah, so you crash at an apartment that Cecil has, like, not too far away from the Jedi Order, as like kind of on the border of 500 Republica and then like the temple and capital grounds sectors of the planet. So yeah, you guys like are, you know, stay out drinking for a while and crash.
As I like crash, I'm like, oh, you gotta keep an eye out. There's a ghost who wants my bones.
There's a ghost who wants your bones. No, we're not gonna let him in.
Oh, good. Well, I don't want a ghost inside. I don't want a ghost.
Okay. So as you say, I don't want a ghost, and you like lay back on the couch, you do that thing where like, as soon as your eyes close, you're asleep. And as you finish the word ghost, you like go to sleep, and then in your mind accelerate rapidly through space and time. you fly by essentially in hyperspace in your mind, past planets and galaxies, supernovas, black holes, and you arrive in the atmosphere of the familiar Typhon system with the red and blue moons, the Ashla and the Bogan. And you see a figure that you have not seen in quite some time. And it is the Bendu, once again, a tall minotaur kind of shaped figure with humanoid features, carved from rock and moss, and fur, red fur that comes down his face. And he says, "Greetings. You have encountered much since we last spoke through the web of galactic consciousness.
I felt Veltz's rotten presence finally find relief in the void. This pleased me. Balance was achieved.
Right.
Let us speak about the treasures you've been seeking. The last dead vestiges of a rotting and dead time of the galaxy. You have collected a ring. Yes, Veltz's ring.
Yeah, it's in our monkey droid, so I think the Jedi are gonna lock that away somewhere.
A good place for it, a good place. And you've also regained some memories about your time on Rodeo.
Yeah, you got anything you can, like, enlighten me about that? Because, little... seems weird, right? That we met and we talked. And now I'm remembering the Bendu stuff that happened there, and I don't remember anything else, and you're the Bendu, so I just... you know, some transparency would be nice.
Indeed. The Order of the Bendu is an order that I have installed into the galaxy to be my material arm in places where I cannot freely go. So, I have tasked them with keeping secret and safe certain artifacts throughout the universe, but they occasionally have failed. I as well do my part to try to keep the galaxy clean of impure forces meddling with the normal affairs of things. And so, the objects that you now seek are some such artifacts that have gone amiss from one of my prisons around the universe. Let me tell you a story about how these artifacts came to be, or at least some of them. First, the...
I just think, I was just like, great, more stories. I and Amelia love the lore, but I was like, god damn it.
At least you don't feel drunk in this dream.
Yeah.
The
ring is a very simple creation. It was an early manifestation of the power of the Bogan. The Bogan and the Ashla are... my siblings, in a sense. I am a manifestation of the Force's desire for balance and neutrality. The Ashla and the Bogan appear when there are intense periods of creation or destruction in the web of the Force. Currently, we are at a time of galactic peace, and so I am at the height of my power. But early on, when things were more chaotic, the Bogan was more in control. And he created the ring to tempt early souls into giving him more power. He tempted them with what they desired, and they gave him their lives. Such as any pact with the darker forces of the universe. To explain the crown and the orb, we must talk about a long-dead empire. So let us speak. Long before the Republic, the galaxy was ruled by the first species to conquer other planets, a species known as the Rakata, but they deemed themselves the Infinite Empire. More than 50,000 years ago, a species called the Kwa, a force-sensitive reptilian species from the planet Dathomir, arrived at the homeworld of the Rakata, a planet called Lihan. As the Kwa had done many times, they began to teach the native Rakatans about the ways of the Force, to give them advanced technology and try to advance their civilization. However, the Kwa were disgusted to find that the Rakata were cannibals and power-hungry lunatics. So, the Rakata, with their newfound Force aptitude and technology, began drawing heavily on the dark side of the Force, and manifested the Bogan within their civilization. A sort of haze of malicious bloodthirst was permeated throughout their rulings, and they began to conquer space outside of the planet Lihan.
They dubbed themselves the Infinite Empire because they managed to move about the galaxy with technology stolen from the Kwa, called Infinity Gates, that allowed them to transport themselves instantaneously around the galaxy. They heavily coveted this technology and so fought the Kwa on the planet to recover it for their own purposes. And a great many wars started on behalf of the Rakatan Empire. They built an enormous space station called the Starforge over their own home star of Abo. And it became a factory powered by the dark side of the Force, and it helped them produce warships and technology that corrupted organic and inorganic matter to the greatest destructive effect imaginable. However, this Starforge became a creature of itself, and perhaps was the most vicious and permeable presentation of the Bogan that there has ever been in the galaxy. It could create strange creatures. Very strange. But the Starforge would be the Rakatan Empire's downfall. It fed off of them to the point where they were becoming weaker and weaker, more corrupt and more corrupt. And it led to the total collapse of the Empire. It began to promote their more aggressive tendencies, and they started getting more extreme with how they controlled other planets. They started sacrificing hundreds of thousands to the Starforge to increase its ability to generate weapons and materials for them. Huge slave revolts erupted throughout the borders of the Empire, and various factions within the Empire started vying for control. And so this led to civil wars. On top of it, a plague began, and weakened by warfare, the Rakata were suddenly struck with a mutation that started taking away their ability to control the Force, and slowly they crumbled and died. Before the Empire collapsed, however, the last Emperor, Talomax Fernando, cast his body into the Forge, feeding himself into the gaping maw of the Bogan's power, and unifying his spirit with the dark side of the Force. The Forge created two new objects, the Crown of Erebus, which is now currently being controlled by the Red Maw, as I'm sure you've noticed, which was created from the power-mad souls of the Rakatans, and the Orb of the One Mind was made from the collective consciousness of all the people that the Rakatans sacrificed in their quest for power. And the soul of the last emperor was free to roam in the outer ruins of space. Years later, after the Infinite Empire, I was collecting artifacts, making sure that the gardens of the universe were being properly tended and pulled for weeds, so to speak. And I came across the orb and the crown. Along with various other objects, the Dagger of the Infinite Empire, whose origins are also related to this story, but not necessary now. And my own staff, I buried them in silver on a moon on the outer reaches of Typhon called Genora, which is where Veltz found them thousands of years later. Which brings us to today. Since these objects have been disseminated, and they're beginning to be used now actively to upset the balance of the universe, I need a champion who is familiar with them to regather them and re-imprison them on my behalf. And I think that champion should be you, El.
What?
Well, it only makes sense. A Jedi trained in the ways of the Force who's no longer affiliated with the rules of the Order. Someone who prioritizes balance. You have a personal stake in retrieving some of the objects already, and I need somebody to round them up for me.
So you just want me to, like, just these objects or all the other ones you were talking about too? I'm just trying to get an idea of what everyone wants right now.
Well, we need to start first with the orb and the crown.
From there, we will continue until the original 5 objects taken from Janora are replaced.
Right. What am I supposed to do about the ring we just gave to the Jedi Order?
Well, my preference would be that at the end of all things, they are reburied in silver on the moon Janora, where they would be very difficult to get to them. But temporary containment with the Jedi is not a bad idea.
Alright. So if I do grab these things, how do I take them? How do I get them to Janora?
This is a good question. I take it you don't appreciate me pulling your spirit through space and time.
I mean, I like a little heads up is usually nice, but you can't, like, pull objects through space and time the same way, right?
Not typically, but... Gather them all in one place, make sure that they're securely contained, and from there we can work out the details of getting them to Janora.
Right, so I just have to get the evil magic artifacts, keep them for myself, and make sure that people are okay with that, and then we get them to... Do I have to do all 5 of them at once, or can we, like, do this in pieces?
We can do this in pieces.
Alright.
You do not need to carry around all the... The important thing is that they are not...
You said to get them all in one place, and then you would get them, so I was like, am I supposed to, like, just hold on to them, or, like... Because that ring was really hard to, like, not put on your finger if you're near it. I didn't even want it, but it floats to your finger. It's weird.
Yes, they have mysterious properties that make them dangerous. I understand. You are very clever and have a lot of resources at your disposal, and I trust you to make wise decisions with them.
I don't think any of those 3 things are true.
You do not have to accept. I mean...
Right. Oh, question. The spirit. You said that spirit was just wandering around the galaxy?
Yes, but it is linked with these objects. It has unified itself with the dark side of the Force.
Right.
And as conduits of the dark side of the Force, these objects are incredibly powerful and draw it close to itself.
No. Like that I get. But, like, is it just around? Like, is it just, like, I don't know, possessing people or something? Or, like, if there was something that went around possessing people, you know anything about that?
Well, a spirit that is able to maintain its own identity after its passing through willing itself to exist within the Force itself is, of course, a very powerful specter of the Force. It is not unheard of that it could possess the people. And right. In fact, it probably is trying to do something like that. Something that is so committed to being evil and to dominating others that it would want to do so after life is certainly capable of doing it in death.
Right. So, I know you, like, said that I'm, like, clever or whatever, but, like, why? Why me?
Why anybody?
Well, like, I don't know. Do you know what happened to me? On Rhodia.
And he kind of looks at you and, like, looks at, like, the whole of, like, the galaxy around him and kind of, like, nods at you.
So, like, what the fuck am I supposed to do about that?
Well, I mean, like, I think he kind of just looks at you like, what do you mean? Like, you're talking to, like, a god right now, like...
I know.
Like, yeah, like...
I really know, but I was just like, well, like, what the fuck?
So you're asking him, like, what to do about the spirit and, like, you know, to
and, like,
explain himself,
not remembering
basically.
Things, yeah. Like, and this spirit is like, oh, I want this vessel, and he's also like, you want to be my champion, and Elle's like, literally, why the fuck?
Every so often, people that are born with the ability to channel the Force to significant effect are also blessed with a hypersensitivity to the extra perceptional aspects of the Force that are constantly going around them. These people are especially useful to entities of the Force that only exist
in the non-material sense, because it allows us to communicate with them directly and to more tangibly affect the world around them. You are one of such of those four sensitives that is able to feel very strongly things through the web of the Force. So, about the spirit. The spirit was on Rhodia, causing a havoc, looking for members of my order because they are tasked with protecting and securing a symbol of my power in the world.
The staff? Yes, I knew that one.
The staff, which was locked away for a long time with the artifacts in order to help nullify their presence. It is a neutralizing force and will adapt itself to help secure and suppress dangerous energies. So, the spirit was searching for the staff, presumably, because it wanted to use it for its own purposes. And I think it searches for the other artifacts, especially the ones associated with its own creation that were made by the Starforge, in order to continue to affect its will on the universe.
Right, so you're saying it was like looking for the staff and it just found me and was like, oh, we'll save that for later.
Well, a force spirit needs something that is, or someone that is particularly strong and sensitive in the force to be able to manipulate them. It's hard to describe this to things and entities that are more physical than metaphysical, but...
Yeah, you're doing great so far, by the way.
Appreciate it. You, and to a lesser extent, or perhaps an equal extent, Sue, and the Cathar that was possessed on Rhodia, all share the quality of force sensitivity with the greater spirits of the Force, which makes you targets for things that want to use that sensitivity to become, in a sense, mortal again on the real world. So, basically, I need your help to gather these artifacts again, to make sure that they don't prey on other Force sensitives and people around the galaxy, and to prevent this greater evil spirit from doing what it wants to do. This is the fight that happens in the background while the Jedi do their work to help secure the galaxy from mortal force users that want to create, you know, empires and enslave others and kill people. And this is what us beyond the mortal world do to help secure it from threats from the other side. And this is part of that. And if you want to be a part of that, you can be. But part of my prerogative is that I seek balance. So if you feel like you're not well equipped for this job, then it's not yours.
Hmm. No, I think I can do it.
Wonderful. You guys are having this conversation on the planet. Things are swirling around. beautiful sky, like, scene in outer space. And you accept from the Bendu this offer to continue to track down these artifacts. Very quickly, you like recede from the dream and you just fall into a deep slumber on Cecil's couch, and that will be where we end the episode.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.